Life is often a paradox. There's a duality to our humanity and existence. Where there's life, we find death. Things that have to die for me to find life. Where there's success, I often find many failures with it. Where we experience fullness in our lives, we also find ourselves in emptiness. If I believe someone, I may be sorry. If I do not believe someone, I will tend to one also be sorry. If I laugh about the things of life, I will regret it. If I cry about the things of life, I might regret it. But one thing remains true, that all good things come from God. But in the paradoxes of life, we learn that most of the time we have to go through the desert before we can enter the promised land. The desert is a very important symbol in the spiritual life. It's a symbol of new things and new life, ironically. We find this throughout the Bible. It's like a pattern by which God works with us. Moses first needs to go to the desert before he can be the leader, the representative of the law. Elijah, before he becomes the representative of the prophets and the whole Old Testament. Paul, just after his conversion, went into the desert and then he came back into ministry. John was in the desert when he wrote and when he received revelation. And also Jesus. For Jesus, the desert was a place of preparation. And when he got away from everything and everyone, he was prepared for his ministry. In the desert, new things emerged in him so that he could start his ministry. Now, I think we can all say that the COVID pandemic plunged us all into the desert, economically, mentally, and our relationships. Our thoughts, our mind, our losses. But the good news today is this, that in the desert, God is doing new things. This is the promise that the prophet Isaiah gives us in these two verses in chapter 43. Read them with me. Remember not the former things. Nor consider the things of old. Behold, look, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And today we'll spend time with these two verses and three invitations in the scripture that comes to us when we find ourselves in the desert. The first is, behold. This is a very, very important word. More than 1,300 times in the Bible, you can come across that word, behold. It's the first word that God speaks to Adam and Eve. Look. It's the first word that the angels say to the shepherds when they announce Jesus' birth. And when Jesus says at the end of his ministry, I will be with you, he also uses the word. He says, behold, I will be with you until the end of days. Again and again and again it appears. It's a very important word. Now, many modern translations do not use the word, or they use words like watch or look or see. But to behold is to not quickly watch or look. It's to watch constantly. It's to stare. It is to look with an intention and with an expectation that there's something hidden in what I'm looking at. Which I'm probably not aware of right now, but which will emerge if I keep on looking. And that's the invitation. That's the invitation for us to behold. And I think we have three sets of eyes with which we can behold. In the first place, we have our physical eyes. We look at what is visible. And we can continue looking at what is visible. But we can also look with the eyes of our mind. I look and so that I can try to understand or gain insight. But I think the invitation in this scripture is to focus on the most important way of looking, and it's looking with the eyes of the heart. The invitation for us is to look with the eyes of the heart and with the intention of seeing. And that's looking with an openness. Not with the idea that I know exactly what's going on here at first glance. No. I look and I hold what I see lightly, because maybe I could be wrong with what I see at first. I must have an openness. And I must have a willingness to keep on watching. And you know, that is one of Jesus' issues with us. He says in Matthew 13 verse 15, "For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them." So he says, we're not beholding, and he's inviting us, look, I want you to watch, watch. So what are you looking at? Why you find yourself in the desert? What are you beholding? Do you have a willingness to put yourself in a place in your desert where you can keep on looking, keep on staring, even if you do not understand or see something right now? Because God is inviting us, behold, behold. Behold the second invitation that comes to us. He says, look at verse 2, "Behold, I am doing a new thing." He invites us to see the things that God does. Go back to the verse. You remember where God says, "I am doing a new thing." Do you not perceive it? Can you not notice it? Can you not pay attention? So maybe I can give you some historical context here. So when the prophet Isaiah speaks here, he speaks on behalf of God to the people of Israel. And they are in exile. They are in the desert. The desert and the exile was a very, very difficult time. It was a time of destruction. They were taken away from everything that was known to them, the familiar ways of dealing with their families, the familiar ways of working, the familiar ways of worship. And suddenly they find themselves in this desert, this place where they think that God has forsaken us. God is not with us. Their experience is forsakenness. But here the prophet Isaiah wants them to know something very important, that God did not leave or forsake them in the desert. That God is in fact busy, constantly at work, and that he is busy doing a new thing. That's his promise. And this is very important. This is a very important insight for us. One of the things that Tom Wright, the theologian, says is that the best metaphor, the best biblical metaphor for the pandemic is that we are in a time of exile. We're in the desert because all of the familiar ways of being with our family has been disrupted. All the known ways of working were disrupted. And all the known ways of worship have been disrupted. So this is a time of exile for us. But the good news that the prophet shares is that God has not forsaken us. God is working. God is busy doing a new thing. Can you watch out for it? Now this may be something you need to hear today. It was something that I needed to hear in God's word. What God is busy doing in the desert right now, those are good things, new things. And it differs in many ways from how he did good things in the past. What God is doing in this time of exile is different from the very good things God has done in the past, because God is doing a new thing now. And it requires that you enter into this mystery of the desert with faith and with confidence. With a confidence that nothing is impossible for God. It means accepting that God is greater than my desert. And that what I am losing is nothing compared to what he's going to give me and what he's busy with right now, this new thing. The life of the resurrected Jesus cannot compare with his life on earth. It's only possible for us to move beyond our pain and loss when we can believe and trust that the possibilities and the new things that God dreams and thinks or plans for me are greater than the pain and bitterness and reality of my current situation. God is doing a new thing. He's busy right now. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Can you not perceive it? And then the third invitation in these two verses. Think not of the former things, neither consider the things of the past, says Isaiah, verse 18. You see, the Israelites kept thinking about the former things. They kept returning to the first Exodus when God used Moses to lead them out of Egypt. And now the prophet Isaiah says, do not focus on that way. Do not focus on the first Exodus, because God is doing something new. Do not go back to Egypt all the time and how things were, because God is doing a new thing. There will be a new Exodus, a new path in this desert and wilderness. When I think of the new things that God is stirring up in my life right now, I realize I have resistances that takes forms of attachments that keep turning me to the former things. And these attachments are holding me back from receiving and seeing and beholding this new thing. Now sometimes these attachments look different in our lives. For some, they are connections with a certain way of thinking that I have that's keeping me from receiving the new thing. So I struggle to think in a new way. People who pay close attention to the ways we think tell us that we often think automatically. We have an automatic or default way of thinking. It's our standard way. And we are deeply attached to it. And many times when God calls us to something new in our lives, we need to learn how to think in new ways. And that's not easy. The renewal of our minds is sometimes a very painful and long journey. But maybe you, like me, you're attached to certain ways of thinking. And now God is inviting you to think in a new way. Some of us are attached to our lifestyles. And perhaps this new thing God is doing is to start living in a new way. But our resistance is pretty strong because we are deeply attached to lifestyles that we have to let go of. Another attachment that keeps us in the former things, and this is a big one for me, is that I think we are sometimes attached to a certain image of ourselves or certain ideas about ourselves. And if we want to respond to what God asks of us, we have to change the way in which we see ourselves. And as we deal with this new thing that God incites in my life, I think one of the deepest attachments is my commitment to an attachment to security. And many times the new thing that God incites in our lives or in our relationships is often an invitation to a kind of uncertainty. And it's very difficult for us because we hold on to security, especially as we get older, because change becomes more and more difficult. Now, I don't know what the attachments are that's keeping you in the former things, but we're invited to not keep going back to what was, For God is making a new path, a new way in this desert. And you may be in a place to do it today where you feel, you know what? I didn't choose this desert. This desert was given to me. Maybe by your age, maybe by a partner you lost during this time, you feel I'm so alone. And you can make your loneliness a place of new things today. You can change your attitude towards the opportunities and things that come your way and make those a place of new things. I often think we're asking all the wrong questions, especially in difficult times. I mean, so many people have come to us and asked, why does God allow this? And I want to risk and say that that is not a biblical question. A biblical question would be, what is God busy doing? What is this new thing that God is birthing? Because God is present and God is active. What is He doing? What is God putting in place right now? During this desert and difficult time, what is God doing that is new in my life? What's that new thing? What is the new thing God is doing in your relationships right now? Is there anything that new that you need to see, that you need to look out for, watch for? What is the new thing God is birthing in your life? Can you behold it? Can you look for it, look at it? Can you think about it? Can you understand it? Can you allow God to unfold that for you as you trust with faith and hope that He's good, that He's God, that He has not forsaken us, and that He is with us? Let's pray together. Father God, Lord, we behold that You are the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Behold that You are a good Father, that You will never forsake us. But Lord, so many of us find ourselves in exile in the desert right now, a place of loneliness and forsakenness, and where we are stripped, Lord. And we need Your help to trust in You. We want to trust and find the new things that You are busy with, and help us to have faith in that, to know and to hold steadfastly onto this hope that You are always active and always busy, and that You are busy with a new thing. And Lord, help us to let go of the former things. It's difficult, Lord. We need Your help with that. But we want to let go of the former things that are withholding us from entering into this new life with You. Help us. Give us courage and strength. Holy Spirit, lead us. Lead us in these new ways and paths, this new exodus through this desert that I find myself in. I want to pay attention and see, but lead me. Guide me. Be with me. This is the prayer of our hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray them. Amen. Thank you for joining us, and receive the blessing. The love of God, our Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit remain with us all. Amen. Have a wonderful week.